Let's stand together. Romans 5, if you're able to stand, beginning in verse 12. Notice we read Romans 5, 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Notice the parentheses there in verse 13. It goes all the way down to verse 17. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." I like that. "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Father, I pray for your blessing today as I preach thy word. Lord, you know who I am. I'm a mere man saved by grace. I ask you to please fill me and empower me, guide and direct my thoughts and words, and I pray as those are hearing the word of God today that we would all have ears to hear. Lord, I pray most of all, if there's someone here in our presence or under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that this morning they'd come to know the Lord as their Savior. And for the believer this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd give us an understanding of this text and help us once again, and maybe in an even deeper way, to recognize what we got when we got saved. So please, I pray for your help and blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In February of 2015, a journalist named Mark Walker wrote an article. Now, this article appeared in a publication that was not a Christian publication. Mark Walker, to my knowledge, did not profess to be a Christian, but he wrote this article. And listen to the title of it. It's entitled, "Want to Live Forever? Scientists Are on the Brink of Finding a Cure for Death." Now, we chuckle, and rightfully so. But some people really think that. They really do. In the article, he wrote about a man, a 47-year-old Korean-born medic and investor. This guy had some mucho dinero. His name was Jun Yun. He offered a $1 million prize for anyone who can, quote, "hack the code of life and keep us young." He says that, quote, "aging is a medical problem for which a solution can be found, and that death isn't looking so certain anymore." He says we need to somehow, quote, "stop the body's clock, which would allow us to stay in our 40s indefinitely." What's interesting is I read the whole article, and there was not a hint of how this can be done or how they're getting closer. He says we're about to solve it. Well, how do you know that? What's the evidence? Nothing. May I say to Mr. Yun and others that are attempting to fight the same battle, you're fighting a losing battle. You say, why? Because of God and his word. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." May I say that again? It's appointed unto men once to die. Yeah. We all have an appointment with death. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 20 puts it this way. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. All of us are going to die. I know the rapture. I understand that. It's going to be a time we get raptured out of here. But barring the rapture, all of us are going to die. But I want to ask you this question. Why? Why do we die? What is this thing called death? And why do we have to experience it? Well, here in Romans chapter 5, as the chapter began, the Apostle Paul was telling to us, or giving to us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, some of the benefits of being saved. If you remember, for the first 3.5 chapters of the book, he told us how all men are condemned. Then he went on to give us a solution of men's condemnation to hell, and chapter 3 and verse 21, and that is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of a virgin, went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead. And if anyone will repent of their sin and trust him as their personal Savior, they'll have their sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. Hallelujah to that. Then he went on to say, give us the example of Abraham in chapter 4, how Abraham was saved the same way everybody else is saved, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he went on in chapter 5 to tell us some of these benefits. He reminds us that we have peace with God in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he reminds us in verse 2 that we have access into God's grace. In other words, not just saving grace, we have access to the grace for living. You need help today? You need God's grace? You need something special from God? The door is open. It's available to you. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Petition God and ask him, and he will give you what's best for you. And it's always the grace to either get through it, or he'll answer your prayer in a different way. And he goes on in verse 3 to say that we glory in tribulation. We know that trials are part of this thing. And then in verse 11, at the end of the chapter, or end of the passage there, he wraps it up by saying that we will have, notice, and not only so, but we also joy in God. We can have the joy of God. Why is that? He tells us, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's why we joy. Not something I'm going to get in the future. It's something I have today, right now, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That word atonement has the idea of satisfying a debt, paying our debt in full, to making us, if you will, at one with God. But then look at verse 21 of our text. I'd like to kind of use that as the title, or at least hinting to the title. We read that this atonement, what it brings, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, while Jesus Christ, or while Adam's sin brought death, Jesus Christ's work brought life. But understand something, he gave us so much more than what we had. Often we think, you know, I might lose, or we lost something in the Garden of Eden, and we did. But we think, well, let's regain what we had in the Garden of Eden. I don't want that. We've been given something much more. And we're going to see that this morning. I'd like to preach on the subject, beating death, and so much more. Let's see in our text, as we take apart this passage, how Christ's work not only gave us victory over death, but it gave us a whole lot more that we should rejoice over. Notice, first of all, let's begin with this, the reality of death. You know, death is a real thing. And he reminds us of that in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, notice, and death by sin, notice this phrase, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Again, notice the phrase, death passed upon all men. You know, there is no truth that is more self-evident than the inevitability of death. Now, I've heard people say all kinds of things, and I'm sure you have, as you've witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say this, I never sinned. I've heard that. I have to hold it in when they say that. Because all of us have sinned. Some say, I've never disobeyed my parents. I always did what they told me to do. I want to laugh there as well. I've heard all kinds of things that people say. But you know, I've never heard of a person that honestly thought they were never going to die. Now, there's always those fringe kooks, if you will, that have these weird doctrines and followings. But I've never heard a person say, oh, I'm never going to die. You know why? Because we all know everybody's going to die. It is the most self-evident truth that you can find, because the earth is literally filled with graves. Not far from my house is a big cemetery. Down the road over here, over down, out route to another cemetery. Cemetery over here, Barrett's Chapel. They're all over the place. Every time we open the paper, we find a section called obituaries. Never found it where it was blank. And they said, well, none today, none this week. Every day and every age. Do you know there's an average of about 2 deaths in this world per second? That's a lot of dying. Often during our missions conference, we put what's called the death ticker up. We started at the beginning of the conference and look at it throughout, and at the end, we have hundreds of thousands of deaths that occur just in that short time frame, because all men die. We die regardless of our age. Sometimes we get the idea. Some of you young people think, hey, well, I got a long life ahead of me. May I say this? You don't know that for sure. Now, I'm not wishing death on anybody or an early departure from this world, but the point is, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Death is no respecter of age. It's no respecter of wealth. It's a respecter of your status or your accomplishments. Doesn't matter what kind of health you're in. You may say, I'm fit. Oh, yeah, read the papers. There have been many fit people that have dropped dead. Doesn't matter. Death is real. Doesn't matter what diet you're on. Doesn't matter the amount of exercise you do. Again, all are going to die. I was reading some interesting things just this year alone in the United States up to Friday, and I have some numbers here that are interesting. Up to Friday of this week, this year in America, 401,619 people have died of heart disease. 713,881 have been murdered in the womb. Think about that, abortions this year. 386,812 have died of cancer. I'll round the numbers off for time's sake. Over 228,000 have died of tobacco-related deaths. Get this one. 164,000 have died from medical errors. Think about that. Going in for some procedure and you never come out. 87,000 from a stroke, 93,000 lower respiratory disease, 88,000 from an accident, 64,000 from a hospital-associated infection, 65,000 died from alcohol, 50,000 diabetes, 61,000 Alzheimer's, 36,000 influenza, 27,000 kidney failure, 21,000 a blood infection, 27,000 suicide, 22,000 drunk driving, 20,000 unintentional poisoning, 16,000 drug abuse, 10,000 homicide, 9,000 prescription drug overdose, 7,500 murdered by a gun, 3,900 texting while driving, 3,200 pedestrians struck by a car, 2,500 have drowned, 2,200 in a fire, 1,800 malnutrition, nearly 1,000 from domestic violence, 500 were smoking in bed, 391 fell out of bed, 97 killed by a falling tree, 54 struck by lightning, 68 killed in a mass shooting, and 2 by Pokemon Go. Now, I didn't want to say that, but I did. Because it's sad. It really is sad. It's sad. But one day, you and I are just going to be a statistic. That seat you're sitting in is not going to have you in there anymore. This pulpit's not going to have me in here anymore. You see, since the creation of this world, every single person but 2, Enoch and Elijah, have died. And again, were it not for the imminent rapture of the church, all would die. But understand, when we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, this phrase, death passed upon all men. Understand something, and this is where a Christian needs to understand. It's not just talking about physical death there. Now, the world thinks about physical death all the time. They're obsessed with it. It does include physical death. But there are three types of death in the Bible that have passed upon all men that we're all going to face. The first one is physical death. I've said that already. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. And the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Physical death is when our bodies cease to function. It's when our bodies actually separate from our spirit. Death is really separation. And when, again, the body and spirit separate, that is physical death. Our spirit leaves our body, and it goes into eternity. That death has passed upon all of us. But there's two more. There's also a spiritual death. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, please. This death that is passed upon all men is also talking about spiritual death. We find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. We read, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Notice in verse 1, it's talking about you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's talking about a spiritual death. All of mankind is born spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God. Every human being is born, watch this, dead to the things of God. So there's a physical death that all of us have to face. There's spiritual death, but then there's a third one, and that is eternal death. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21, and we'll look at verse 8. Eternal death occurs after death for the unsaved. But notice what we read here. We read in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," here it is, "which is the second death." Again, I repeat, eternal death occurs after death, the physical death, for the unsaved. But understand, it is an extension of spiritual death, but it is worse. And it's worse because the separation from God at this point now becomes a permanent. And it's also accompanied by pain and anguish in a place called hell, later the lake of fire. And so understand, when the Bible says that death passed upon all men, that means when we are born into this world, we have upon all of us this sentence of spiritual death, of physical death, and also eternal death. What a sentence that is. Which brings me to this question: why? So we see the reality of death. Go back to Romans chapter 5. But then secondly, notice the reason for death. Why? What did I do? What did I do so bad that God would condemn me to physical death and spiritual death and eternal death? Well, we find the answer in our text. Notice what we read in verses 12 through 14. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come." Now, that's a mouthful. What does that mean? Here's what it means. The reason that all of us have this threefold sentence of death upon us is because of one thing. And that is that word, three-letter word, sin. It's because of sin. And notice we read in our text that it was by one man that sin entered into the world. We know who that man was. That man was Adam. Now understand something about sin. Sin did not originate with Adam, but sin entered into the world through Adam. The devil sinned in heaven before Adam, you know, before that. And so again, it didn't originate with him. It just came into this world through Adam. And we read this story back in Genesis chapter 2, if you'll turn back there with me, please. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. We know in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we read the story of creation. God creates Adam and Eve. We know that he places them in the Garden of Eden. But notice when he places them in the Garden of Eden, in verse 15, he gives them a prohibitive commandment. In other words, every parent knows what that means. It means don't do that. Stay away from that. We read in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, notice, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, notice, thou shalt what? Surely die. We know that God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the Garden of Eden. They were in a state of what we refer to as innocence. Yet they were given a free will, a will to choose, to make decisions. And here God tells them not to do something. And he said, if you misbehave or don't do what I say, disobey me, there is a severe result of that, and that is you shall surely die. Well, we all know the story from Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. When that happened, understand what happened. Sin entered into their bloodstream. It became a genetic thing. It produced a change in his nature, in their nature. They went from a state of innocence to now a state of sinfulness. And because of that, his indwelling sin nature was passed on to his posterity, his children and his children's children and his children's children's children, and on it goes, all the way down to me and you. Do you know we are all born of Adam? We are all of one blood. We're all brothers and sisters. Here we are. Trace it all back. It goes all the way back to our two parents, Adam and Eve. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. I want to show you something here that I believe is important. As Paul is preaching here in Athens on Mars Hill, he had seen their idolatry. He had seen that they made something to the unknown God, and he's trying to explain the true and living God to them. And he says in verse 24, he says, God, Acts 17:24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, watch this, verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men. The entire human race is related to Adam. We all descended from him. We all have the same original parents. That's why this idea of racism and racial supremacy is straight from the pits of hell. We're all the same. One blood. That's what we are. And because Adam became spiritually polluted because of his sin, all of his descendants would be polluted as well. And so this sentence of death has been passed to all of us. And by the way, history demonstrates this truth. You say, what do you mean by that? Because everybody's died. Everybody. Everybody has died or is going to die. Now go back to Romans chapter 5, and let me see if I can explain some of the wording here in Romans chapter 5. Notice we read in verse 13 and 14, after he says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Notice he says, for until the law, sin was in the world. By the way, sin has existed in the world since Genesis chapter 3. And notice, and so, I'm sorry, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. That has the idea, not in God's eyes, but in man's eyes. We don't recognize sin as sin if we don't have a law, because we say, well, everybody's doing it, so I guess it's okay. So mankind wasn't accounting some of the things he was doing as sin, but that doesn't mean it wasn't sin. That's why today the Bible is so important to have in this world. That's why God has given it to us and preserved it. And that's why this world doesn't want the Ten Commandments hanging anywhere. They don't want the Bible taught in public school. Why is that? Because it reminds us of something. It reminds us that we're sinners. And I'm going to get to that in a little bit. And so notice he says again, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. In other words, it was passed on to everyone, sin and death, even those who didn't have the law of Moses, even those who didn't recognize things they were doing as sin, even those who did not commit the exact same sin that Adam committed. All of us inherited this nature from Adam to Moses before the law, all the way down to me and you. No excuse. Death has passed upon all of us. All of us. Now, you may be thinking this. I don't know. I've heard people think this. That's not fair. Why should I be penalized for Adam's sin? Have I ever heard somebody say that? Maybe. Why should... Oh, you didn't? Okay, well, I won't tell you why then. Why? Well, think about this. When Adam sinned, he not only sinned as a man, he sinned as mankind. As our federal head, so to speak. Think about it. All of us were there. We were all in Adam. We were there. All of us were guilty of eating the fruit. You're looking at me funny. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's see if I can't show you what the Bible says here. This may either muddy the waters or clear them up. If it muddies them, just pretend I never went here. Hebrews chapter 7, and notice verse 7. Here it's going to talk about Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek. You remember when he came back from the Battle of the Kings and he came into what I believe was a Christophany? We read how Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. The Bible is going to tell us here that when Abraham tithed, Levi tithed, because Levi was in Abraham, just like we were in Adam. So let me read it and show you what it says. We read in verse 7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now, Levi, they were given the assignment to receive the tithes from the people. That was part of the priesthood. But he also paid tithes in Abraham. Notice verse 10. For he was yet in the loins of his father, Abraham, when Melchizedek met him. So when Abraham tithed, Levi tithed as well. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. We all made the choice in Adam. And because of that, understand what we receive. We receive both the sin nature and also the penalty that goes with it, and that is death. That's why we die. That's the reason for death. But then there's a third thing as we go back to Romans chapter 5. Not only the reality of death and the reason for death, this is the part I like. The reversal of death. Something's going to change. The whole thing's going to get changed around. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 5 in verse 16. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What he's saying here is just as fair as that one person can die for your sins as one person sinning and you getting the results of that. But let's read on. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, let me just sum it up by saying this. Notice the phrase, much more. We find it in verse 15, much more the grace of God. We find it in verse 17, much more they which receive. We find it down in verse 20 at the very end. Grace did much more abound. Understand what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Adam destroyed, Jesus Christ restored. And so much more. And I'll show you why in a moment. You see, while Adam's act was an act of disobedience, Jesus Christ's work was an act of obedience. While Adam's offense brought death, eternal death, spiritual, physical death, Christ's work brought eternal life. While Adam's offense gave us a sin nature, Christ's death and work gives us a new nature, God's nature. While Adam's offense condemned man, Christ's work brings justification and justifies man. While Adam's sin brought mankind into bondage, Jesus Christ's work sets men free. Amen. Think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ undid the effects of the fall for anyone who will simply repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And instead of experiencing eternal death, we experience eternal life. See, Christ undid it all. He reversed it. I was reading an article written by Andy Wood. Again, secular article, but he talked about four things that you can never get back. And in the article, he mentioned how you can never get back certain things. Four of them. He said you can never get back the past. That's true. I wish I could sometimes. I wish I could rewind things and hit the reset button or something like that. But you can't. You can never get back the past. He also said you can never get back wasted time. And that's true. You can't get back wasted time. He also said the third thing is you cannot get back missed opportunities. Sometimes doors open for a little bit and then they close. And if you miss that opportunity, you can never get it back. The fourth thing he said you can never get back are spoken words. Now that one I wish I could as well. You ever say something and you wish you could just grab it before it reaches the ear, but it's too late. It's already there. And once it's there, you can't go in the ear and dig it out and get it back. It's there and you can't. Again, there are some things that you can never get back. But think about this. Through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary, you and I can get something back that is the most important thing to get back. We can get forgiveness of our sins. We can be restored back to God, and we can be delivered from death unto life. Oh, he undid everything that Adam messed up. And I say it again, and so much more. Let me explain something here. Think about it this way. Think about spiritual death. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, I've already read it, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We got that back. That separation from God, that spiritual separation. When you repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior, again, we have that peace with God. No more separation, no more war with God. And so Jesus Christ restored the spiritual death. He also gave us, think about this, he took care of eternal death. We were on our way to hell, and rightfully so. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Watch this. What did Jesus do? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what Adam lost in spiritual death and in eternal death have been fully restored through Jesus Christ. Now you may say, what about physical death? Well, we still die. That's true. But think about this. We got something a whole lot better. You see, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, his work wasn't intended to not only fix that spiritual death and eternal death and then bring us back to the state where we were in the Garden of Eden. We wouldn't want that. Would you want eternal life, physically living forever on this earth with that same old sin nature you've been living with the same old junk that's all around us? I mean, think about it. Living in this world forever? So you know what God did? He gave us a gift. You know what it is? The gift of death. Death, you see, we as Christians should see it totally different. It's just a crossing over. It is a shedding of this sin-cursed body and this sin nature and going not back to Eden. You see, in Eden, he had a free will. He could sin again. We go to heaven eternally in the presence of God with no more presence of sin around us or the sin nature in our life. Gone, gone, gone. It's all gone. We got much more through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think of, I mentioned in the early service, King Josiah. You know, death is really a gift at many times. King Josiah was the last good king in the nation, in the southern kingdom of Judah. He'd had a lot of reforms, tried to do the right thing, reinstituted the Passover. He was towards the end there of the southern kingdom. And it was interesting because although he instilled those reforms, the people in their hearts still weren't right with God. They were mechanically going through it. And God, through a prophet, came to Josiah and told him this. Josiah, not in these words, I'm summing it up. And this is the Pastor Moore rendition. I hate to tell you something, but it's going to get messed up even more. They're going to go worse and worse, and I'm going to bring them into captivity. But here's what I want to do for you. You're not going to see it. You're not going to have to live through watching this nation and your children and your grandchildren just get worse and worse and more idolatrous and sinful. He says, I'm going to take you out of this world before any of that happens so you don't have to experience that. That's a gift. That's a gift. We think of Uriah and we say, oh, poor Uriah. He had no idea. He was doing the right thing with David and Bathsheba and that sin. Uriah was Bathsheba's husband. Oh, poor Uriah. He had no idea. God took him out before he heard the news of what his wife did with King David. God spared him by taking him out of this world. And thank God that Christ does so much more than bringing us back to a Garden of Eden type state. But he gives us an eternal state with him, without sin, without that nature, without the potential to sin in heaven. You see, he beat death and so much more. But then there's one last thing and we're done. And I want you to notice this in verse 20. Notice the reminder of God. We see the reality of death, the reason for death, the reversal of death. But then God does something here in verse 20. Notice he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what God did for us? Because he knows our nature. He knows what we're like. He did something we see in verse 20. He says, moreover, the law entered. He brought in the law. He brought in the law of Moses. You know, God never intended for the law us to be saved by the law of Moses. It was never a means of salvation. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Galatians 3:11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Understand what the law was. It was given to convince us of our sinfulness, to remind us how much we need to be saved. But then we realize how wicked we are, and he says here in verse 20 at the end, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's the work of Jesus Christ. You see, there's no sin too sinful that grace doesn't cover it. There's no sinner too bad that they cannot be saved. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how religious you have or have not been, no matter what your views are, you can be saved if you'll simply acknowledge yourself as a sinner on your way to hell under the sentence of death, spiritual, eternal, and physical death, and see that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you repent and receive him as your Savior. You get salvation and so much more. So much more. You can beat death today through Jesus Christ. Death loses its sting. Do you know him as Savior? Are you certain you're saved? What a wonderful thing God did when he sent his Son into this world to deliver us from death and give us more than we lost in the Garden of Eden. We have eternal life in heaven with him. Let's pray.